Thank you for coming to the Lord's house this morning. Pray that you're blessed. I understand that Lionel is preaching for Patrick down at Moon's Chapel this morning. So even as we have our service, you know, another little corner of your mind, pray for him that the Lord will give him the words, the message that they need. I asked Tamara, she wrote him a good sermon, but she said she... you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. You know, sometimes when we read these Old Testament passages, we say, you know, that's interesting, great piece of history, but so what? And yet, as we look at these scriptures, let the Holy Spirit speak to us, we can begin to learn some truths that are very, very important to us that will help us in our own personal walk with God. Now, one of the truths that this passage is going to show us is that this, and you know it's true in your own life, even when you're doing the best you can, sometimes troubles are going to come. Even when you're serving the Lord, sometimes troubles are going to come. We live in a fallen universe. Our world is full of trouble and woe and sickness and disease and war and everything else. And Jesus said, don't be surprised that these kind of things are going to happen. Our flesh always wants to lead us astray. Our flesh can get sick. And the devil can attack us. You're just going down the road, everything's cool, and then all of a sudden, bang, some type of trouble hits you. Let's read these first few verses here of 1 Samuel 30, and you'll see what happened in David's life. Came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. Now Ziklag was their home base. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. That kind of thing ever happened? You know, David, they'd been off with his warriors. And when he comes back, the Amalekites had burned their city, kidnapped all their family, and of course, implied they took everything that was of any value. Gold, silver, clothing, anything that was of any value, they would have taken. So David comes home. He's got, you'll find later, 600 men with him. Everything is in ruins, and their families are gone. Now the families had been kidnapped, not killed. And that's an important part of the story. And David and his family, soldiers did exactly what you and I would have done. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lift up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. They cried their eyes out, as we say. They cried till they were too weak to cry. They were brokenhearted. It was just terrible to think that they had been off doing the Lord's work. They come back, great distress. Now for David, it suddenly gets worse. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Well, he's already distressed because his wives and children, everybody had been taken. But he was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. There's a second truth there. Sometimes even your family and your friends upset or get upset with you. Sometimes your family and your friends don't like you. Now, if you remember David in the cave of Adullam, when it says some of his family went to him and people that were distressed and in debt, and they came and they became a part of his soldiers. So some of these people had been in David's family. The others were men that had been with him for a long time. And suddenly they said, you know, if we hadn't have been off with David, let's stone him. Now he's already torn up about his own wives gone, his own stuff gone. And now all of his soldiers said, let's just stone David. And it says he was greatly distressed. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you really be upset? Sure, we all would. To suddenly be turned on by those that we trusted. But here's the key. What's the last part of that verse say? Verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And that's where what your Sunday school lesson this morning fits perfectly. To learn to praise the Lord. To learn to honor the Lord. To learn to spend time with the Lord. Even in difficult situations. Now, if you think about Paul, you remember in Philippi, he and Silas, they're beaten. They're thrown into prison. And not just any prison, they're in the innermost prison, almost like we'd say today, solitary confinement. And not just with the doors locked around them, they put them in stocks. Their backs are bleeding from the beating. The whipping. They're in the most confined part of the prison. They can't, you know, sometimes when you're hurting, it just helps to be able to stretch this leg that way or to turn this way. They're in stocks. They can't do anything. And it says what? At midnight, they praised the Lord, and they did it so loud that the other prisoners heard them. You see, Paul and Silas were encouraging themselves in the Lord. They were encouraging themselves in the Lord. In Isaiah 61, he talks about putting on the garments of praise. And I think I preached a sermon on that here a few months ago. You got up this morning? Unless you're just pretty destitute, you had a choice about what you were going to put on. You could have worn this shirt or another shirt or that blouse or that dress or a different tie or whatever. You chose what you're going to put on. And Isaiah talks about putting on the garment of praise. Talked about in your Sunday school lesson. Praising the Lord, honoring the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Folks, there are times in life when we just have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Isn't it interesting how many times Paul writes in his letters, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. Over and over and over again. And you know, he wrote a lot of that stuff from jail. He wrote to people that were hurting. They were facing constant difficulties. And yet he kept saying, rejoice, give thanks. Paul, are you kidding me? We encourage ourselves in the Lord. And I find it very interesting. One little word in there. He doesn't say he encouraged himself in the Lord or in God. It says he encouraged himself in what? His God. Isn't that what it says? He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You see, David had a personal relationship with God that enabled him to spend that time with God to... Okay. David had built up such a relationship with God over past years that when difficult times came, he knew where to run. He knew where to go. David had learned some of this out as a shepherd taking care of his father's sheep. David had learned some of this hiding out when Saul was trying to kill him. When he was an enemy of the king. David had learned some of this in spending time with these men who were so troubled. But David had learned to spend time with God. Now, if you read the Psalms and read them all, you know, don't just pick out the 23rd and the 100th and a few of your favorite. If you read all the Psalms, David was very, very honest with God. You know, there were times he said, God, I don't understand this. There were some times he said, God, you need to get those guys that are after me. You know, David's very honest with God. God's big enough to take our concerns. If we, approach him in a respectful manner, God is big enough for our questions. God can handle our hurts. And it says, David, in this time of difficulty, when his men were thinking about killing him, and when his family was gone and his stuff was gone, David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Folks, that's a lesson for us. I know most of you have been through it. Difficult times in the past. If you haven't, just hold on, you will. And most of us, if we live more than another couple of weeks, we're going to go through something else. Some way, somehow. It may be our own self. It may be in our family. It may be in our job. But we're going to go through some things. And David's example is a precious, precious example for us. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now there's a goes on something else here in verse 7. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now we've got the Bible and we've got the indwelling Holy Spirit to guide us. The ephod was what they used in those days. It was sort of like a casting of lots to discern the will of God. So David, in this point, says, to the priest, I want the method of finding and discerning the will of God. Verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. The lesson in this verse, or these two verses, is this. In difficult times, always spend time with God and seek the will of God. David didn't have the Holy Spirit like you did. David didn't have a Bible like you have. But David had a relationship with God like hopefully we all have. And how important it is that we make in difficult times that we consult the Lord before we make decisions. You see, David, was facing a choice. Did he and his men just start over, find new wives and have new kids and accumulate new wealth, or do they chase after this force? Now, they don't know how big this force is. They don't know what they've done with their wives and their kids. At this point, all they know is that everything's gone and they're destitute and desolate. And so they're trying to decide, what are we going to do? We don't know what to do, but God does. And so they go to the Lord. He goes to the Lord in the way that they would do it in that day and says, Lord, do we go after them? Or do we stay here and just start over? And God says to them, go. Go. And God not only says go, but what does he say? Pursue, for you'll overtake them, and without fail, recover all. You're going to get it all back. God says go, you're going to catch them, and you're going to get it all back. God directed their paths. You know, it's so important that when we're having a difficult time that we seek the Lord. I was thinking about it again this morning and, you know, running back over all these years as pastor. How many times I've seen it where, you know, a husband dies and the wife, you know, she's so distressed and she goes home and everything she sees reminds her of him. So she sells her house and moves to Florida or Arizona. And 6 months later, she says, what did I do? I don't know anybody here. All my friends are back in North Carolina or wherever. My family's back there. My church is back there. Why am I in Arizona? Just made this decision without consulting the Lord. I've known a few situations where a spouse has died and the other spouse got home, got married again almost on the way home from the funeral. Now, you're supposed to laugh there. Almost on the way home from the funeral. Not quite that fast. Didn't talk to the Lord, just say, hey, I can't be alone. Here's somebody's living and breathing. I'm in. And boy, did they live to regret it. What have I got myself into? Now, I've known a lot of happy marriages second time around. Guy I roomed with in seminary said his first wife left him. She was nuts. Literally. And he told me 10 years later, said, I wish she'd have left sooner. But he spent some time with the Lord before he chose that second wife. He spent some time with the Lord. You know, we can make all kinds of foolish decisions in our pain that we'd never make if we spent time with the Lord. David noticed this whole situation was not of his making. This whole situation had nothing to do with who he was or anything. It just happened. And David was brokenhearted over his own family. He was brokenhearted over the way his friends suddenly had turned on him. And yet at the same time, David knew what to do. He knew to seek the Lord. First, for encouragement. And then for wisdom and guidance. And as a result, I won't go through the rest of the story. They caught them. They defeated them. They got everything that was theirs back, plus everything the Amalekites had collected from other folks. So the end result in following the Lord brought blessing. But it went through a difficult time to get there. Probably 50 years more ago, and it's been more than that, 55, I guess, almost, there was a movie, Joy Comes in the Morning. And it comes from a scripture in Psalms, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Friends, we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have something that the rest of the world does not have. We have a God who is a Father, who loves us, who cares about us. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For what? For thou art with me. Be thankful of your relationship with your God. Be thankful for your relationship with a God who loves you, who is your Father. And be thankful that when you're going through the valleys, He's with you. Always with you. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God and in His promises. Seek Him in direction as to where to go. And watch Him bring you out of your valley into a place of joy, place of blessing. As we have our time of invitation, if there's somebody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ, you couldn't encourage yourself in the Lord your God because He's not yours. Would you come? If you need to come and rededicate your life or just come to the altar, would you come?